Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee LaValley McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person, turned therapist and shamanic healer, to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about the transformative power of confession. And although confession may be an antiquated term at this point, it's an ancient practice that continues to heal and transform people in therapy sessions, in 12-step programs, in psychedelic circles, and many spiritual practices and psychological modalities where people are looking deeply at the truth about themselves. And it's my experience that solitary self-appraisal is insufficient, and that sharing the truths that we discover or hide from ourselves and others is a necessary ingredient for creating and maintaining permanent positive change. And in fact, it is usually the things that we most want to keep secret, the things we least want to talk about, that will create the most relief and healing if we bring them out of the darkness and into the light. Now, confession is a sacred act, and sharing what's tragic, terrible, or triumphant about us in this context is a very private and intentional act. Posting on social media, oversharing to multiple people, feeling like we need to hang our dirty underwear out on the sidewalk, that's not what confession is about. Confession, in its highest form, is like psychic surgery that removes malignant tumors that may metastasize and spread if we don't get them out. And I know a woman who found a lump in her armpit, and she was too afraid to go to the doctor. And her fear of facing what was in her body ultimately caused it to spread and kill her. Now, we all have to die of something, but in her case, essentially she died of fear. Fear of facing what she found within herself. Now, many people, perhaps even most people, are afraid of facing what's within themselves. And although it may not kill them, holding on to shame, guilt, toxic anger and resentment, patterns of victimization are incredibly destructive to the quality of our life experience. There's a wonderful book about 12-step recovery called Drop the Rock. And many of us carry bags of rocks or giant boulders with us every day with no idea that there are practices and processes to let that shit go. But again, we often cannot do it by ourselves. That's our preference. I want to just be able to drop this secret without telling it to anybody. But my experience is it is the act and the humility of speaking the unspeakable to another person that releases us from that bondage. And so my first experience with the practice of confession was doing the fifth step in the 12-step process. And the fifth step reads, we admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Scary and character-building stuff. And the fifth step follows the fourth step, which is to take a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And moral is another word that has become kind of corrupted by religious conservatism. But the moral inventory is our own. And it's a wonderfully maturing process to discover or develop our own moral code. There's plenty of religious and cultural systems that will impose morality upon us, but that keeps us like little children following someone else's rules. Now, a lot of those guidelines are helpful. Lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, sleeping with other people's partners, destroying people's reputations for your own benefit, those are all kind of universally recognized as bad human behavior because they harm other people. Because we're all connected, when we harm others, we actually harm ourselves as well. But I'm not here to decide what your morality is. This is up to you to decide. For example, there's been a huge rise of ethical non-monogamy and polyamory, which is the practice of having more than one romantic or sexual partner at the same time, has actually grown in acceptance and application and brought a new morality to the old practice of sleeping with other people that didn't exist before, at least not in the Western world. So when we look deeply at ourselves, at our behavior, at our beliefs, it can be a really developmental process to help us clarify our own morality of what we consider to be right or wrong or good or bad behavior in our own life. And I had a married boyfriend for a couple of years, and his wife actually knew about me. And I was a wild party girl at the time, so I was frequently having sex with other people outside of my married boyfriend, and he was doing the same thing. And although we talked openly about it and shared it, I always felt this sense of guilt and shame. I didn't know about ethical non-monogamy. I just thought I was a slut. Now, I have since come to the realization that I am basically a monogamous person, but I carried tremendous shame about that behavior. And a lot of the shame was because I was keeping secrets. And there wasn't an agreement in the relationships that I was in when I was cheating. And that's what made it cheating. And in ethically non-monogamous relationships, two people identify as a couple, but they agree to not be committed to a traditional relationship. They give each other the opportunity to date or have sex with other people independently. And there's a whole bunch of different ways that that can look, from don't ask, don't tell to full disclosure. And I have experimented with being in a, at least philosophically open relationship where we could date other people, that we were primary partners with an open door to date or have sex outside of that coupleship. And although there are aspects of that that can create insecurity, there are also aspects of that that create or facilitate this real mature love and respect for the other person of wanting them to be happy even if they aren't with me, and vice versa. And it's very common, I know I've certainly done it, that we just kind of take on this assumed morality from the culture or our family and never really examine our own beliefs or experience. And this is such a beautifully maturing process. Taking a green tomato and allowing it to become red and ripe, juicy and unique. Maturing and growing allows us to soften and become fertile, delicious and juicy in our own unique way, rather than staying a hard, unripe fruit. And you could see a lot of the rigidity of transcribed moral codes that are just kind of imposed upon us as keeping us that immature fruit. You ever try to eat a raw peach? They're nasty. And so these inner processes of self-examination and sharing what we find in a safe and sacred place with another are incredibly beneficial to our growth and development as a whole person. And because I am a lifelong student of the 12 steps, I've done this process multiple times. In fact, I'm engaged with it in a group right now. I'm hearing a confession from someone this afternoon, and we'll do a fifth step with another person later in the month. We don't call it confession, but that's what it is. And again, it follows this process of deep introspection in the self, doing a writing process, looking at all the things that are good about myself that I want to nourish and cultivate, and looking at the things in myself that need some work or need to be let go of altogether. And there's kind of a simple but not necessarily easy process for that. Really can benefit everybody. Look at all the people you're mad at, or the situations, institutions, or relationships that you feel resentful about. Look deeply at your fears, anxieties, worries. Can be an exhaustive list. And look at our sexual behavior, or lack of sexual behavior. Because withdrawing or abstaining from sexual or intimate relationships, often called sexual anorexia, like food anorexia, where people deprive themselves of a healthy human need. And of course, overeating and compulsive sexual behavior, the dysfunctions that we have, and food and sex are very related, or at least similar in how they present, it can provide a lot of information about ourselves that we'd rather not look at or wish would just go away. But like that tumor in my friend's armpit, wishing it away did not work. And so being willing to do this psychic discovery of the self, really looking at what's there, even the stuff we don't want to see, actually empowers us to truly release these things, because we can't let go of something that we're not willing to pick up and carry out the door. And that's what this process is. We discover things, we pick them up, and then the confession process is dumping it away. Now, the brilliance of the 12 steps is that there's two additional steps, steps 6 and 7, which is that once we have discovered and share these things, we actually become willing to let them go, because nothing lives in our psychic space without our permission. And if we have behaviors, attitudes, beliefs, trauma loops in our life, consciously or unconsciously, we are attached to them. They're often part of our whole identity of how we see ourselves. And the idea of dropping the rock is that when we drop the rock, our hands are then free to gather and hold new information, new power, or to discover whole new ways of being that we couldn't imagine. This is, for me, the essence of spirituality, is to get beyond the limitations of the rational mind, because it can't imagine anything it can't imagine. But just because we can't imagine it doesn't mean it's not possible. It's just superseding, or being willing to supersede, our own limitations. Open to the generosity of the limitless universe. But we got to make room. Now, absolutely, good therapy can be this confessional experience. But there is something quite potent about writing a personal inventory and then reading it to another person. And although I've done it many, many times, it can still be a nerve-wracking process when I actually sit down with someone else to share the things I'd rather not share. But when we bring the light into the shadows, they are no longer shadows. And just like garbage can turn into the richest compost, confessing or sharing with a safe, non-judgmental, grounded and wise person can be the sunlight and air that's part of that composting process. If I just leave garbage in a bag tied up down in the basement, it turns putrid. If I mix it in with the soil, give it some love and attention, throw some worms in there, there's an alchemical process of transformation that creates rich and fertile soil for myself and others. So I encourage you to discover your own morality. Drop the rock. Look deep within yourself to create this opportunity for an inner house cleaning. Find a therapist, a trusted friend, or a religious person to share your own discoveries about yourself. Maybe remove that tumor so it doesn't metastasize, and open to being composted for the richness and fertility of your own soul. Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in doing a deeper dive and seeing if a block of spiritual psychology work might be helpful, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. We'll set up a free discovery call. Be sure to check out my YouTube channel. I've got a lot of great interviews coming up on that. Thanks as always to my supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee Lavallee McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.